It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. One thing is certain from looking at the midterm election results, and that is that our states are far from united. How have you seen political polarization affect your community? Did it affect your vote yesterday? Is political division the most or one of the most important issues to you in this election? What do you think about political polarization? Are we making it better or are we growing farther and farther apart? Let us know what you think this morning. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, and he is the coordinator of the university's public policy and administration program. Jonah, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you for having me.
Democrats gained enough seats to control the U.S. House of Representatives yesterday. Republicans added to their majority in the U.S. Senate. What does this mean for bipartisanship in Washington?
Well, it will certainly be interesting to see. I know that there are a few issues that President Trump has talked about in the past where they could collaborate with Democrats, for example, infrastructure. But I also know that the Democrats are seeking to open up investigations of his administration, and he's already tweeting about the Democrats that might be involved in that effort with some remarks that suggest maybe there won't be an attitude of cooperation going forward here.
Well, even with control of both houses of the national legislature, the Republican Congress passed fewer bills than probably any time since the so-called do-nothing Congress that Harry Truman complained about. What makes us think that we're going to see anything other than gridlock going forward with the Republicans in control of the Senate and the Democrats in control of the House?
I think you bring up a good point, and one that we could just look back to Obama's presidency and see how difficult it was after that 2010 election for the Democrats to really get anything passed once the Republicans kind of went into an obstructionist mode. Will the Democrats do the same thing here? I think that remains to be seen.
You've tracked political polarization over time. What did you see during this campaign season that you want to make sure that people are sure to recognize?
You know, one thing that I found quite interesting, when you look at the exit polls, there were some national exit polls. One looked at 19,000 different people almost that they interviewed. And when asked politically, do you think Americans are becoming more united, becoming more divided, staying about the same? 76% of people responded that we're becoming more divided.
Can we paint with a broad brush? Do you think most campaigns worked on trying to unite us or divide us, or we just can't generalize?
You know, what I found particularly interesting was Vukmir's concession speech. So that campaign, she ran a fairly divisive campaign. Very negative ads were run. And in fact, of course, I think that's what negatively impacted the outcome for her, that people saw that as a little off-putting. But interestingly enough, in her concession speech, she talked about the need for us to come together, work together, that this is not, what the state of politics should be. And I'm just wondering, you know, after hearing that, is can candidates have it both ways? I mean, can you run this type of campaign and then say we need to work together? You know, are those things incompatible or not?
Well, what was the tone of the midterm campaign like overall? You mentioned Leah Vukmir's campaign, but nationally, what was the tone of the midterms?
It really depended on the races. That was another interesting thing about this midterm election. So some of these were quite candidate-focused. And in races like that, the candidates did quite well. So I'm thinking, for example, of Manchin in West Virginia. This was a state where Trump had won by over 40 points in 2016, yet Manchin pulls out a victory. And I think part of that has to do with that, you know, he was actually appealing to people on the other side. And, in fact, a lot of his appeal was based on him as a candidate as opposed to running on a lot of the partisan views of the Democratic Party. So, you know, and then Beto O'Rourke in Texas also did quite well, coming within just a couple points of Ted Cruz. So, again, I think in those kind of races, you know, the candidate mattered.
Jonah Ralston teaches political science at UW-Whitewater. He's also coordinator of the university's public policy and administration program. We're talking with him about bipartisanship, and we want to talk with you. How have you changed your voting over time? Did you vote a split ticket in the past, but maybe you don't anymore? Or maybe it's the opposite for you, and you refuse to just cast a ballot along party lines. Do you think it'll be worse or better after yesterday's election? Let us know what you're thinking. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. You know, we probably should have done this right at the top, Jonah, but when we talk, when we use the term polarization, what is it exactly that we mean?
Yeah, so there are a few different ways to look at it. When we think of it amongst politicians, typically what we're looking at are voting patterns and how often is one party voting with just members of its own party versus voting with members of the other party. And when it's voting with members of the other party, you know, that would, we would say it's not very polarized. But if the two parties are voting strictly along party lines, we would say that's quite polarized. Now, that doesn't really work then when we think about, in the American public, because, you know, we don't have as many things that we could look at for voting patterns in the sense of on actual bills or something like that. So what we typically think about when we look at polarization amongst the public, the citizenry, is we're going to look at how far apart they are on their viewpoints. So we would see, are people, you know, camped into the consistently liberal, consistently conservative camps, and there's a, you know, there's not much crossing over of views in between, you know, people who are falling into one of those camps, and there's less in the middle, purple, if you will, right? Do you see it more red and blue instead of the purple? And we have seen that over time in Congress, there's a great degree of polarization, and that also this is now happening in the citizenry where people are more consistently aligning along conservative or liberal ideologies.
I don't remember exactly where I saw this, but I saw a graphic representation of the polarization of Congress, and it the point was being made that the last time we had a Congress this polarized was the Civil War.
That's correct, and I think many people find that concerning, and probably why there are so many people discussing this issue and are concerned about it, because obviously during that time period, you had Americans killing Americans, and then, you know, reconciling right after that. Certainly it's a concerning idea to think about that level of division in the country.
So are there issues where people of different political parties seem to be coming together?
You know, I think that's a great question. It's often that we focus on what divides us, but what we found in some of these election poll results, the exit poll results, was that, for example, in Wisconsin, when we look at the governor's race, and they interviewed about 2,500 people, on the question of health care in the U.S. needs major changes, minor changes, or no changes, 67% of people said health care in the U.S. needs major changes. And in fact, a lot of the people who were voting, that was pretty consistent along Democratic and Republican lines. And then if we look at other things nationally that we're asked about, you know, it's often said that there's, you know, a culture war or things like this that people are concerned about. But when we look at the national exit polls, there's actually a lot of agreement on the fact that, you know, sexual harassment in the country is a serious problem. 84% of people said yes. Extremist violence being a factor in the vote, 83% of people said yes, and that was pretty evenly split among Democrats and Republicans. And also you had majority saying it was important to elect women to public office, 78% saying that's important, and important to elect racial and ethnic minorities, 72% said that was important.
And if we go back to the healthcare question, even though most of us think healthcare is a major issue, we probably have some differences in terms of what we think ought to be done with it, done about that in terms of policy. So we might diverge a little bit when it comes to that.
Indeed, I think that's a fair statement. And in fact, when you look at what was the most important issue for voters in the gubernatorial race here in Wisconsin, healthcare was cited, but that was a lopsided answer in the sense that it was many Democrats saying that. So you have to assume then that the healthcare issue for them was to expand coverage and to have probably more public intervention, whereas that would, like you said, be unlikely to be the response from the Republicans.
And Jonah Ralston from UW-Whitewater stays with us talking about polarization. Nationally, it appears that Democrats have retaken the United States House of Representatives, while Republicans widened their majority in the U.S. Senate. We're taking calls on this conversation about polarization. There's a line for you on the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And just a note here, Wisconsin AP says Tony Evers has defeated incumbent Scott Walker. We don't know who the winner is in the race yet for Attorney General because the vote is too close to call. All incumbents in congressional races won their seats, and Republican Brian Stile has claimed victory in the first congressional district. That's Paul Ryan's old district. We also saw Tammy Baldwin retain her place representing Wisconsin in the United States Senate. We're taking calls right now about the idea of polarization. There's a line for you. Did polarization affect your vote yesterday? Let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org or at WPR Mornings. That also works. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Political polarization remains high in America. Will things get better or worse after the midterm election? That's what we want to know this morning. How have you seen political polarization affect your community? Did it affect your vote yesterday? Tell us your story. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jonah Ralston is with us this hour. Jonah is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Whitewater and the coordinator of the university's public policy and administration program. Let's go to the phones and take a call from Steve, who joins us from Danbury. Steve, good morning. Thanks for being on the morning show.
Morning, John. I'm from a very red part of the state here, and we stood out on the highways and county roads and street corners, a group of four of us holding up signs supporting a couple of wonderful Democratic candidates, Kim Butler, who ran for assembly, and Margaret Engelbretson, who ran for the 7th congressional district seat held by Sean Duffy. And I know the media likes to kind of whip up this idea that we're so divided and we're approaching civil war and everything else, but the overwhelming experience that our group of four had was very positive. People gave us thumbs up. They waved. If they disagreed with us, they might give us a thumbs down, but we weren't met with any animosity at all. In our area here, we're very community-minded. I think we all recognize that we have political differences, but everybody continues to work to live together in peace. So I guess while I accept the idea that there's a political divide and the Republicans ran some really dirty ads against Kim or some dirty mailings against Kim Butler in the end, the people themselves at the grassroots level we found to be open and accepting of our point of view as expressed in these signs the last 4 days.
Steve, thanks so much for your call. A couple of really important points there, Jonah. One is maybe this is more media generated than is actually what we're seeing in neighborhoods. And Steve's point that it may be political parties that are more responsible for this, and the average citizen may not be as polarized as we think. What's your response there?
Yeah, no, I'm glad that Steve called in, because it's certainly nice to hear those stories. My thought would be that, indeed, the level of polarization at the elite level does seem to trickle down a bit. But I think Steve is right that we don't, as citizens, have to take those cues, right? I mean, we don't have to act on them. They are our representatives, after all. And so, yeah, maybe we can, you know, change the culture of the political divide from the bottom up, in a sense. And another thought would be that if Steve's district was perhaps drawn in a way that was a bit more competitive, I think that would help reduce some of the polarization. So if we think about, you know, gerrymandering, and our own state has, you know, gerrymandered districts, you know, depending on who's in power, they're able to do that. With a divided government coming up, with Evers having the veto power, that very well could change the nature of some of these districts, and they might be more competitive and result in candidates reaching out more to the other side.
We can recognize polarization in patterns in voting. What are the general assumptions that we make about those?
Yeah, so I think when we look at voting patterns, right now some of the divide that we find is the difference between urban and rural areas. And so when you look at the exit polls for our state and you look at the governor's race, you find that if, you know, 30% of people were from urban areas, they voted 75% for Evers. When you look at rural areas, which were 34%, they voted 60% for Walker. Suburban areas, 36%, they voted 58% for Walker. And so I think there is a bit of that urban-rural divide. And another big story for this midterm election was that white college-educated women broke for the Democrats heavily, and white non-college-educated men broke heavily for Republicans.
So did yesterday's vote challenge any of the patterns that we've seen?
I think one thing that we saw that was kind of different is that we had a lot more young people voting than was expected, perhaps not as much as some had hoped. But it's encouraging to see that more young people are getting out to vote. They do tend to break towards the Democrats, but again, just their voter turnout rates have been so low, you know, less than a third often in even a presidential election. So to have these high rates of turnout is encouraging that people are still participating in the system and feel like their voice can be heard.
Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, and he's the coordinator of the university's public policy and administration program. He's with us today to talk about political polarization in America. Let's go to La Crosse next, where Mason is on the line. Mason, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to say first that I appreciate the topic. I think that the political polarization is an important issue, and I'm glad you're spending some time on it. One thing I notice is just that, you know, with campaigns as they are today, you know, we have a representative democracy, which means we focus a lot of attention on the person and less attention perhaps directly on the policy issues. I think it is refreshing when candidates do talk about policy issues, but we have a representative democracy, and that's just the way it is. It was kind of formed at a time when communication and information exchange wasn't as easy, and maybe it made sense then. I'm wondering if you know, your guest today would comment on whether or not there's any promise in having some tools that sort of approximate more direct representation, where the general public is asked to weigh in some respects in a formal system on policy matters, whether it be more coverage of policy issues, and if talking more about policy rather than candidates might help to alleviate some of the polarization that we see.
Jonah Ralston?
Yeah, I think that is actually a good point. And in about half of the states have the initiative process where citizens are allowed to directly express their preferences by voting on, you know, actual laws or constitutional amendments. And so that would be one avenue. We got close to having that in Wisconsin. You have to go back to the progressive era, and what you find is that the progressives had actually overextended a bit, and when that was put up to the people, it got voted down, oddly enough. Quite an interesting history there. But yes, that is something that could be pursued again. And I think that also the idea of more direct e-voting and other things like this have been discussed. That would be kind of a change from what we have now. But, you know, how that system would work is that you would vote directly on policies at, even at the federal level, not just at the state level. And, in fact, if you didn't want to vote, you could then delegate your vote to someone else that you trusted to have it cast that vote for you. So it's kind of an interesting model. Seems unlikely to happen. What perhaps could happen is maybe there has been interest in reducing the amount of money in politics. Again, that's going to be difficult with Supreme Court decisions as of recent years. But if you were to limit the amount of money, it might limit the outside involvement that from some of these groups that send the kind of mailings that the caller discussed.
It's so much, Mason, for that call. It's the day after the election, Jonah Ralston. Emotions are raw. What can we do today to stop ourselves from running to our partisan corners and growing further apart?
Yeah, I think it's okay for people who maybe have experienced a loss that they were hoping, somebody that they, you know, were wanting to win, did not make it. I think it's okay to, you know, for a bit, to kind of just decompress and to, you know, allow that emotion to fill you. But also then thinking about the future and that, in fact, if we are going to get things done, we have to work together. That is how the system is designed. And, you know, the things that get accomplished are going to happen through compromise when we have kind of this divided government model. And so hopefully people are willing to be a bit pragmatic. You know, that philosophy of pragmatism is an American philosophy. It came out of the Civil War here in the U.S. So perhaps people can kind of find that pragmatic American view again.
All right, Jonah Ralston, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Jonah Ralston, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater and Coordinator of the University's Public Policy and Administration Program. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Have a